Assassination of leaders will not bring the occupation security, but more resistance. The Zionist regime war minister Yoav Gallant said the military, working with Shin Bet intelligence service, targeted the leadership of Islamic Jihad in Gaza in a precise operation. Shortly after the airstrikes, the Zionist regime military acknowledged the attack, which it called Operation Shield and Arrow. Bracing for rocket fire from Palestinian groups, Israeli cities near the frontier with Gaza opened public bomb shelters. Roads near Gaza and beaches in southern Israeli cities of Ashkelon and Ashdod have been closed. In a brief statement, the Palestinian Health Ministry mourned the Zionist regime killing of Jamal Khashoggi, a well-known dentist and the chairman of Al-Wafa Hospital's board of directors. He was killed with his wife, Merfat Khashoggi, and her child, Yusuf Khashoggi. The statement of the Palestinian Health Ministry said the Ministry of Health mourns with great sadness Dr. Jamal Khashoggi, who was martyred at dawn today, alongside his wife and son, as a result of the brutal Zionist attack on Gaza City, adding, Dr. Khashoggi was a man of great patriotic and medical dedication. An Israeli regime military spokesperson said they were aware of some collateral but had no immediate comment. The attack comes a week after a brief exchange of fire between the Zionist regime and Palestinian groups in Gaza left one Palestinian killed and two Israelis wounded. It followed the death of prominent Palestinian hunger striker Khadar Adnan, who was a member of the Islamic Jihad in the occupied West Bank. The recent airstrikes were the largest attack mounted by the fabricated regime of Israel against Gaza since August last year, when the military assassinated senior PIJ commander Taysir al-Jabari, triggering a three-day exchange of fire. At least 49 Palestinians were killed in 2022 Israeli regime bombardment, including 17 children and 360 others wounded. More than 2 million Palestinians are packed into Gaza, an area the size of U.S. city of Detroit. Under the blockade by the Zionist regime since 2006, the besieged coastal enclave has been described as the world's largest open-air prison. The Zionist regime withdrew its troops from the Strip in 2005 but maintains tight control of Gaza's airspace and land and sea borders, which has reduced its economy to a state of collapse. According to Wafa News Agency, the Palestinian presidency has recently condemned the Zionist regime's escalation in the aggression against the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. We condemn this dangerous Israeli escalation against our people, which targeted children, women, and homes in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, including Al-Quds, the latest of which was the killing of 13 civilians, including women and children in the Gaza Strip, and the injury of 13 people from bullets in Nablus, in addition to the ongoing storming of Al-Aqsa Mosque, said the official presidential spokesperson Nabil Abu Rodeine. He said, we hold the Israeli regime fully responsible for this dangerous escalation that drags the region into a scourge of violence, tension, and instability. Abu Rodeine warned the U.S. administration against allowing the Zionist regime to persist in its continuous crimes against the Palestinian people, especially as they affect children, women, and sanctities.
option for today and a better tomorrow. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. I am Asma. I have the pleasure to be your host for today's episode. And here with me, I have Sister Zainab. Welcome to your studio, Sister.
Assalamu alaikum to you and all dear listeners. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and it's always a pleasure to be here with you because I'm pretty much sure that we're going to have such a beautiful discussion about everything that is related to Muslim ladies. Just to start the discussion, I would add it this way, that women have come a long way since they started joining the workforce in large numbers in the late 19th century. At first, how the story began was that they started to be workers and laborers because of that industrial revolution and whatsoever. And the lack of laborers that they had, women started to come and lend helping hand to all the men out there. So the first place, it did not have such a prestige for a woman. It was just for the lack of, insurance, money, whatever, things like that. It was not a matter of prestige or anything that would add to your independence. But little by little, as we went further, the story changed and women started to become independent creatures for themselves. Like they started to be doctors, they started to have great responsibilities in society and policy. Whatever, now you can see that women have got a great role in their societies and wherever they are. So now the question is that, can women go for all the jobs they love?
They can, provided the jobs they love do not interfere with their modesty, chastity, with their Islamic dress code, overall with their inward and outward modesty. The question which is over here, that can they go for all the jobs that men go for?
Yeah.
It's more important.
Considering their natures.
Yeah. Because of their unique physical capabilities or the capacities they have, women are excluded from some of the jobs just because that does not endanger their health.
Yeah, so I guess it's safer to say that nature has restricted them from going for all the jobs that they might wish to go for.
Yeah.
Like, for example, a woman cannot be a miner.
Exactly, but see,
it would be a drudgery for her.
Yeah, in fact, there's one of the countries that has strict laws for women miners, and that's China.
Yeah.
And China prevents women from mining. In fact, China Mining and Technology University has male-only entrance exams policy because according to the labor laws of China, mining is considered to be unsuitable for women.
Yeah, for her health, of course.
Yeah, so it's not just for health. There are so many things. Like, there are some things some governments have really realized that this does not suit a woman.
Yeah.
So realizing her anatomy, realizing her nature, realizing her being a soft creature. So there are some countries in the world that have really realized that women should be abandoned from this kind of
some
labor.
Some special, difficult jobs.
Yeah, and I agree with some of them. I won't say all of them, all of the countries where they actually restrict a woman from doing particular kinds of jobs. So there are some emotional things. Women is restricted from a job. And there are some physical things. So coming back to physical capacities. A woman is restricted from many of the jobs, and I think it's an honor to her if she's restricted over here, because there is this kind of slogan, gender equality or gender justice, which is even as per the Supreme Leader, which is a slogan to use women as a, you know, another,
for their benefit, of
for
course.
Their benefit.
It's not
so, like,
for the benefit of women. It's for the benefit of societies and their policies.
Yeah, so their slogans are very different, but there are some countries seriously who have, realizing the physical capability of a woman, they restrict her from certain jobs. Like, for example, I'll give an example of Argentina. Women are not legally allowed to polish glasses.
To clean the glasses.
Yeah, and exactly, just because they have a softer physical anatomy, they get hurt easily. In fact, you may see, I was just going through some of the videos on social media where I saw like a woman just cutting the potatoes and her finger getting, you know, injured. And at the same time, man doing the same thing. And when a woman does that, she cries a lot. And even if a man gets hurt, he does not cry himself. The woman starts crying.
yeah, because of her nature again.
Yeah, it was like it was a funny video, but that has some reality in it. Yeah, woman has that kind of nature. So if she gets hurt physically, she can't bear the pain so easily and as the men can.
So this was just the beginning of the topic. We just opened up this box of worms, and then we'd go for a break. After that, we'll catch up the rest of the story. Muslim ladies, this is your own program, and Sister Zainab and I are talking about jobs, the nature of women, and can they go for all different sorts of jobs, like, I don't know, mining, or I also have seen a documentary on women, on different jobs that women got, and then one of them was very strange to me. This woman was a truck driver. You know, considering the nature of a woman, that seems to be, you know, strange, sort of nothing that you have seen always in front of you. So, and then I thought, okay, maybe she is in need of that job, right? But again, what would happen to her nature? If we as society did not consider her nature, what is going to happen to these women? And right now there are going to be a large number, not just one, two, or three. There are these women that are actually wishing to go for strange jobs, which is not going to be good for their health. And at the same time, it's going to be very difficult for them. So now I would love to know, is there any other country that would restrict women from special jobs for the benefit of women in the name of women?
Like we were talking about, depending on their physical capabilities, some countries have really realized that women not to be doing certain kinds of jobs. We have Belarusian women can drive buses that has more than 14 passengers.
Oh.
We do have women as bus drivers in India too. But this country, Belarusian, does not allow women to drive a bus that has more than 14 passengers. And I realized this, the reason behind this, when my sister got a car and she started, and my mother said, like, can you tell her just to drop us here, drop us there? And then I asked her, why don't you drop them here and there? She said, like, I can drop them here and there just once a day or twice a day, not all the time. I can't be driver all the time, because whenever all the people who are staying in my car, I feel like all the pressure is on my arms. Then I had to talk to my mother again, and I told her, you realize.
So it's a mental pressure.
Yeah, I told her it's not just physical pressure on her, it's a mental pressure. So it's like, do not go out whenever it's unnecessary. So now it was just a family thing, you know. In family, you have comfortable car, you have comfortable things. But when you are, as a woman or a bus driver, just imagine. why women go for jobs, actually, in general jobs. Why do they go for jobs?
Well, general jobs, we could say that, okay, she wants to be independent and she wants to build an empire of her own.
Yeah, and there are some many other reasons. We can actually analyze them in future sessions, I guess.
So as you said, there are many countries that have restriction for the choice of job for women. And that was interesting because I didn't think that there is such a thing, such a restriction in countries for women to go for special jobs.
Exactly. There are some countries who have realized those, you know, the honor of women in terms of her physical health. I won't say they definitely realized her dignity and status like Islam does. Islam considers her as a human being. So we are not actually touching on Islam yet. But there are some countries just looking at her physical anatomy, they are restricting her from certain jobs. We said like in Argentina, they don't allow her to go for glass polishing. We said in China, they don't allow her to go for mining. Yeah, and there's another country, Guinea, that prevents women from working with certain types of hammers. So there are certain kinds of hammers which are really heavy, which are not... But look at some countries which are actually, or some governments which are encouraging women to go for weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
And look at these countries who are realizing the anatomy of women and telling her you're not legally allowed to work mm-hmm. with these kinds of tools, like some kinds of special hammers.
Now, this is a very interesting topic to think about. I would love all you women out there to think about it, really, why certain jobs are very difficult, yet some special women, I would say special women, are attracted to those sort of jobs. There are, of course, many reasons, and in following sessions we might go for them. But right now, as we're finishing today's episode, let's go for a break, and then after that, we would have a wrapping up of whatever we have said up until now.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Yeah, women are delicate creatures and they must go for jobs according to their nature. This is, I guess, the main factor that we should consider whenever we're going to, I don't know, nurture our girls or maybe get attracted to a certain job or go for a certain job and these sort of things. So we were talking about the countries that have got some restriction laws for women to go for special jobs.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with them in certain cases, but definitely maybe not all. But yeah, realizing the physical anatomy of a woman, realizing the physical capabilities of a woman and not allowing her to do some particular jobs, I think I do agree to a greater deal with them. Yeah, sometimes some women love to be just because they are adventurous. But in general, because we are talking in general about women, we are not, whatever we have been talking about, we are talking in general. Like, not all women are like that. Their body features, their physical capabilities do not allow them to be like that. So, yeah, Russia does not have truckers in women. And there are 400 plus jobs in Russia that women are restricted from doing. 400 plus jobs. Like,
wow.
But Russia is actually having a deeper look into the women and anatomy, honor. Like China said, it's not in the honor of a woman to be a minor.
Exactly.
Okay. And even in India, we have like, you know, if you're just going through, you have small girls who clean your car glass and you just pay them for this. In a similar way, France bars women from labor activities that involve carrying loads heavier than 55 pounds.
Yeah.
So we have seen
this one is also good.
Yeah. We have seen some of the countries, like, you know, they have something in common. Do not give heavy loads to women.
Exactly.
And this, again, reminds me of, you know, Imam Ali al-Islam's letter number 31 says in Nahjul Balagha that women are like flowers. They're not servants.
Wow, such a deep and beautiful saying. Now I'm just thinking about what you said, and it's very nice. Exactly, that's the way I imagine a woman. She's a delicate thing, just like a flower, and you cannot take this flower into the desert and then expect her to be just a beautiful, flourishing flower. So, yeah, women must take care of themselves, I guess, at the very first step by themselves. And then society has to go for laws protecting women from getting heavy loads. And these heavy loads, you can take it as ironically, because sometimes you don't give them heavy loads as in you give them, I don't know, wood or anything else to carry, but it's a mental load that you're giving them, which is going to be a great pressure for a woman to take in. So thank you, sister. And thank you, dear listeners. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Until another episode, I just bid you farewell. May Allah protect you and shower you with His blessings. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam, everybody, and here is something worth contemplating upon. In the words of the leader of the pious, Imam Ali, peace upon him, the portals of repentance are open for everybody. Hence, repent to God sincerely so that your Lord may forgive your sins.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
The era of Trumpism. If products do not get across borders, soldiers will be crossing them.
The sheer unpredictability of a President Donald Trump.
How unpredictable the new terrain here in Washington is.
Is this our new normal? Is there reason for
the creation of a new reality?
Donald Trump has broken the rules of what it means to be president.
What Trump are we going to see, do you think?
Going to constantly have rules that are broken in my way or the highway.
If we call it a political earthquake, an unraveling of the system, or even a...
I am sure you're familiar with the concept of marketing, at least in the general sense of the word. And each one of you has, say at least once, witnessed the use of simple or complex marketing techniques used by experts of the marketing field. Philip Kotler, the father of modern marketing, describes marketing as a managerial or social process used by people, groups, and organizations to produce, distribute, and trade goods, services, and in recent times, ideologies in order to supply one another with what the other party wants or needs. Today, by doing a simple search on the internet, you can find hundreds of methods and techniques used in marketing, which you can learn about. Marketing techniques, in accordance to their messages, missions, target audiences, media outlets, and budgets, are frequently used by governments as well as the private sector. For this reason, we're always either directly or indirectly affected by marketing. The effects of marketing are influencing our minds even when we think we're doing some other activity. One of the constant concerns of social science thinkers has been whether the marketer's role should be to respond to consumers' needs for products or to create a need for products in the consumer. For this reason, marketing concepts and methods have blended with various market types, creating different mixes that are used for various purposes. Gradually, groups started using a kind of marketing that was different to the marketing used in trading goods and products in the traditional sense. It instead pursued political objectives.
In the final three quarters, we're working out battles for you.
Political marketing is the fusion of marketing techniques and political science to reach political goals. Political marketing is used by democratic and semi-democratic political systems, which depend on their nation's support to gain legitimacy. The 21st century information revolution and globalization process played a vital role in changing the paradigms and traditional concepts of political activities in the direction of the professional and complex tactics used in marketing. Some experts believe that political marketing used nowadays has become an inseparable and vital part of marketing. Fundamentally, marketing, depending on the type of product, customer, and market, is divided into a range of categories and uses. Some products are sold at once, while most others require marketing and long-term planning. In political marketing, particularly in a presidential election where the goal is to persuade people to extend their support to a certain presidential candidate by offering that person's brand and promises to the masses, all the various techniques and tools of marketing, such as launching all sorts of campaigns, are used. In political marketing, the customers, or in this case, the voters, in order to buy, need to gain access to free information.
With Hillary Clinton winning the Democratic nomination, Donald Trump.
Trump was the first person who succeeded in spreading his ideas and viewpoints, as well as gaining the upper hand over his opponents in political debates by using political marketing.
30, 40, sometimes 50%.
In the presidential debates, or in other words, the voting market, the people or the audience are not looking for the best of most superior candidate. Most often, their votes depend on what is said and done during the debates. There is no rational logic behind the voters' decision, and their support for a certain candidate is rooted in their emotions and the memory of an exciting moment they felt as the debate was in progress. According to neuromarketing theory, which has been designed based on the operating model of the human brain, people frequently make their choices based on their emotional state and not based on rational reasoning and logic.
It's my hair. I swear. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. This is great. Just real quick. We don't want to mess it up too much because I do use hairspray. That I... Come, come. Is it mine? Look.
It is.
It is. Say it, please.
Most of the people and the audiences are swayed by the winner of the debates. And the tendency to be on the same side as the winner can have no logical or scientific reason to support it. The swaying could merely be the result of a commanding presentation at the debate, a precise choice of words and sentences, as well as appropriate reactions and persuasive responses to the various questions asked of the candidates.
This is about the audience.
Disaster as a senator.
Mr. Trump, we're going to move on.
The fact is that politicians have always been in pursuit of marketing themselves. Their goal has been to hunt headlines. These days, political marketing experts advise candidates on what to wear, where to lecture, and what to say and what not to say, and with whom to be seen with. The activities of candidates are carefully scrutinized by viewers, just like one would observe the packaging of a product or a shop window. This is in elections. Those who spend more are not the ones that necessarily win the race. Instead, the candidate who uses better and brighter tactics wins.
The Donald turned his attention.
You might think that Trump's use of marketing tools is restricted to using them for political purpose. However, the truth of the matter is that Trump has been using marketing tactics in many different aspects and on different levels.
There has never been anything like this where emails and you get a subpoena. You get a subpoena, and after getting the subpoena, you delete 33,000 emails.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
One of the greatest men who worked in the field of commerce and business trade, as well as marketing, was David Ogilvy. In his book, titled Confessions of an Advertising Man, which was translated into Persian in 2011, he mentions some of the so-called golden rules of marketing. By using his book as a reference, it is not difficult to find which marketing techniques were used by Trump in the past years. The more useful the information included inside an advertisement is, the more persuasive it'll be.
I love you, people. We are going to make America great again. I love you. Thank you.
Titles are winning cards. If you want to persuade people to do something or to buy a product, talk to the person in their own language, the simple, everyday language that they are used to thinking in.
These are great people. They've been with me for 15 years. They're fantastic. Tell them where you're from.
I'm from Salvador, in Guatemala.
And do you like working for me?
Yeah, we like.
These are great guys. And I have thousands of Hispanics that work for me, and they love Trump, right?
Okay.
It is not important for you to be necessarily the smartest person in the team. Just hire the ones who are smarter than you. The image creates the character.
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
Let's see.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what is going on. I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
We often think that we cast our votes based on the political views that each candidate has demonstrated before the election. However, the reality is that our votes are cast as a result of meticulous campaigns planned with organizational political marketing.
But if I get elected president, I will bring it back bigger and better and stronger than ever before, and we will make America great again. Thank you. Thank you very much.
To enter and influence a market, tell them your story. If you do not have a story to tell, make one up.
He's a nasty, nasty guy. He's a liar.
It may be the ugliest election in U.S. history.
Back where you come from, kid.
And Donald Trump is the reason why.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
One of the tactics in political marketing is to create a story to make or enhance a brand for a candidate, which could be a personal brand. In marketing, a good story is a believable one that would stick in the campaign supporters' minds. Another tactic in political marketing is negative fighting.
Sit down. Sit down.
The competition is always over getting more votes than the rival candidates. There are two ways to do this. Paying attention to the positive qualities of one's own candidate.
Secretary Clinton, yes, is that okay? Good. I want you to be very happy.
And highlighting the negative ones in the rivaling candidate.
So we're now fighting for muscle that we had. All she had to do is stay there. Now we're going in to get it. But you know who the big winner in Mosul is going to be? We eventually get it. And the only reason they did it is because she's running for the office of president. And they want to look tough. They want to look good. He violated the red line in the sand. And he made so many mistakes, made all mistakes. That's why we have the Great Migration.
The question is, how did people like Trump get so unbelievably rich, and how can they plan a way for the impoverished masses to acquire such wealth? By now, you must have heard the expression liberalism. Economic liberalism became popular in Europe when a British economist named Adam Smith in 1776 wrote a book titled The Wealth of Nations. Smith and his followers supported non-interference by the government in economic affairs. Smith believed the surplus in trade is the best way to bring about growth in a nation. Such ideas, which later led to non-controlling governments, became the basis of liberalism. They encouraged free enterprise and competition, which gave capitalists a free hand to gain great profits in any place and whatever amount they wanted. Economic liberalism in the 18th century and early 19th century was the dominant force running the United States of America until the economic crash in 1930 created doubts about this ideology. Was the free market model really one that could be trusted? The big economic crisis and crash of the 30s led to the emergence of an economist named John Maynard Keynes, who raised doubts and challenged liberalism as being the best model for capitalism. He said full employment is needed for the growth of capitalism, and this will take place when governments and central banks take active participation in economic affairs to create jobs. However, the crises in capitalism, which led to the decrease in interest rates on capital, led to the gradual resurgence of liberalism in the economy, which is today known as the neoliberalism movement. Following the economic crisis of the 30s, about 30 years later, in the 70s, the U.S. economy suffered another slowdown, which lasted 5 years. Gradually, the time span between economic crises and stagnations decreased. As a result, the U.S. economy suffered more recurrences in 1980, 1981, 1990, and 2001, respectively. In all these years, the outstanding points in the capitalist system have been, first, the production of goods aimed primarily at gaining a profit, and second, producing goods that satisfy a human need. As the economic crises repeated themselves in alternate years, some outcomes linked to it, such as the unemployment crises, were also on the rise. Actually, with the emergence of economic globalization and the occurrence of global economic collapse in 2008, and the situation that came about after that, the social gap between the rich and the poor increased, and the living standards of the laborers as well as many people in the middle class, in addition to a large portion of the masses around the world, decreased. The result of this was that many of the people became disillusioned and lost trust in the ruling political system and political parties, as well as the election process and political structure rooted in democratic liberalism. Eventually, this situation led to the rise of a number of extremist populist right-wing parties in Europe and the United States.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, which in that we're going to speak about the art of listening. So be with us.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
Today, Thursday, is the 20th of Shawwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Ordibehesht, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Now we'll listen respectfully to chapter Al-A'raf, verse 204 from Allah's book, the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ.
So when the Quran is recited, then listen to it and pay attention that you may receive mercy.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Islamic jurisprudence, do not give decree upon the act of keeping silence to be absolutely obligatory, except in prayer. This verse emphasizes that when the Holy Quran is being recited from the point of courtesy, the audience ought to keep silence and listen to recitation of the verses. The sound of the recitation of the Quran should pass through the ears and affects on the heart and mind. In this case, the person may be shown the divine mercy too.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
The topic of this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio is the art of listening, and we'll be glad to have you here. Listening is an art. It requires us to be patient, receptive, open-minded, and non-judgmental. It requires us to not put words in other person's mouth, filling gaps, or presume to understand the other person fully. There is a certain Zen-like quality in practicing listening. Not only does it help us socially, but it also helps us spiritually as well. In fact, the art of listening is central to practices such as meditation and mindfulness. So why not hone this skill with others each day and make the best opportunity of every moment you get?
Mm-hmm. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The importance of listening to the Holy Quran and the miracle of listening. The other great things about listening to Al-Quran and trying to understand is that the listener will get the feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directly communicating with us through its true message, that is Al-Quran. When we listen to the Quran, our perspective of life changes and its horizon widens. For example, if we listen to Surah Ar-Rahman, we come to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true God and has power over each and everything that exists in this universe. In Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly asks us the following. So, all in all, listening to the Quran makes us feel like we have a friend and that we are never lonely, because the words of Allah, as true as the heavens and the earth, are with us. We realize that this world is temporary. It makes us detach from worldly and materialistic things and strive for a better tomorrow, a better hereafter. Indeed, we can't deny none.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Non-judgment. It is one of the essential qualities that make excellent listeners. Non-judgment. It's important not to criticize or pass judgment on what the other person is saying. Avoid using language that puts others down or makes you appear superior. Being non-judgmental shows that you respect the other person and their opinions, even if they differ from your own. It's important when dealing with tough conversations in the workplace, where many people have different backgrounds and experiences. It helps build trust because the other person feels safe enough to be themselves around you without being criticized. In these situations, it's essential to avoid making assumptions and instead focus on what you can do together as a team. Now we have one etiquette in our relationship with the Quran: seeking refuge with Allah from Satan when reciting Holy Quran. Verse 98 of Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16 of the Holy Quran says, "So when you recite the Quran, seek refuge with Allah from the cursed Satan." This verse explains that we should seek refuge against the influence of Shaitan when reading the Holy Quran. From the apparent aspect, where we start the recitation of the Holy Quran with, "I seek refuge in Allah from the cursed Satan." So this will be a command connected, quite literally, to reading and recitation of the Holy Quran. Refuge in Allah from Satan means the internal and external Satan. External Satan, namely Iblis, who infiltrates and pollutes our mind, and internal Satan being our desires. And when we are stuck in our ego, prejudice, and other negative desires of our lower self, like arrogance. If you want to benefit from the Holy Quran, Quran's logic is that you first need capacity to understand the Quran. And secondly, you must not have any obstacle that prevents you from absorbing and understanding the Holy Quran. Our desires are all barriers between us and the truth or reality of the Holy Quran.
Allah said to some communities that I want you to listen to your prophets. See what the Quran says. Quran says in Surah Al-Baqarah, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةِ We have given you the Torah. Hold firm of the Torah, the teachings of the Torah. وَاسْمَعُوا And then obey. What was their answer? Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 93. Their answer was, سَمِعْنَا قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا Making fun of their prophet. Ridiculing the prophet. Yes, yes, we listen to you, but we disobey you. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا Why? The reason why? Because they were enchanted with what? With materialism. وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهُمُ الْعِجْلِ They made to fall in love with their hearts, with the calf, the love for the calf. And the calf at that time, the ijl, represented what? It was made of what at that time? They made the ijl, the calf, from what? Gold. So it represents materialism. So God says, the love for gold and materialism and the calf was mixed with their blood in their hearts. وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهُمُ الْعِجْلِ بِكُفْرِهِمْ This is why they don't listen. They don't obey. Even if you speak the truth, they don't care about what you say. Today I read in the New York Times, one of the presidents, his advisors, they tell him not to do, but he goes against the advice of his advisors. He appoints advisors, senior advisors, and they pay them money, and they tell him, this is not right, don't do this. He goes exactly against what they advise him. This is وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا It's found in the Quran. The example of this man is found in the Quran with the children of Israel. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا Yes, I hear what you are telling me, but I don't listen to you. On the other hand, Allah says the believers, the most important characteristics of the believers, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 285. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته ورسله وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا This is the spirit of Iman. We don't differentiate, distinguish, discriminate among the prophets of God, among his books, and we listen and we obey. وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا This is the key reason for success, for prosperity, is when you listen and you obey, not that you disobey. And we need to incorporate this concept in our families.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. It seems that our time is over, so inshallah we continue this interesting topic in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget, follow us. Till tomorrow, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.